Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansombra, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. I'm also the author of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Cindy?
I want to thank you for being the producer of the pitch that we have for NBC with the sitcom. You were a wonderful producer,
oh,
so professional as always. And
and
by the way, today in Newsday, I'm reading my Newsday when I eat my breakfast, and I saw that Tracy Lynn Conner, the one who is the actress that we had worked with, remember? She
yes.
just got a wonderful review about her her part in Masterclass that she's doing in Theater 3. And
oh, wonderful.
They said that her
Good
vocals
her.
Were
so
incredible.
Sweet.
They said her vocals were incredible. Remember, she just quit her day job to take that leap of
yep.
faith. And remember, I always tell you, you got to sometimes tell God where you want to go. And she has gotten that phenomenal review in Newsday. And from what I could see in many other publications as well, but they specifically mentioned her wonderful vocals. Now, could that not have come at the right moment when she's starting her new business to teach voice?
You know what? It was just so, like, I love synchronicity. I really, really love synchronicity because not only did that happen or whatever, but, like, literally she just said, well, I just quit my job and, you know, I'm going to just try to take on my own students. So I'm going to see where it takes me. And what did I do? I said, the first thing that I said was, you know what? I have a student for you. And that student actually called her today. So she does have a new student coming in as well, in addition to her wonderful, wonderful review. So it looks like things are getting off to the right foot for her. And she's taking a step forward. And, you know, that leap of faith was definitely worth it.
And that's what I always tell people. If you tell God you want to go in a direction, it happened to me when I said, I'm going to just do this full time, the tarot, and Newsday named me as one of the best psychics on Long Island like 3 days later. I mean, same thing happened just now to Tracy. It happens. God has to help us. We need that publicity. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I also thought she had a lot of good karma surrounding her for helping me on my project. I think sometimes God just really rewards people when they, you know, go above and beyond to help people. You know what I'm saying? And she did. And I was just so great. I just was so impressed with Ed, our man who was doing the filming. I mean, he was so professional. I mean, I was like, blown away by.
He's our resident photographer. You know, he's like actually our resident camera guy, I should say. He does video work with us as well, but mostly he's our photographer, you know, when we use him on my projects, you know. But in this particular case, he was the resident, you know, cameraman, boom, you know, man, as well as, you know, director, you know. So, I mean, he just did an absolutely wonderful job. And he's so humble, too, because, like, he hit me up after that, and he's like, listen, he goes, I know that you just wanted me to come in and shoot. He's like, I mean, I hope I didn't overstep any bounds by giving you my input. And I'm like, Ed, for God's sake, I'm like, that's the very reason I wanted you there, is I wanted your opinion. I wanted your expertise. I'm like, it's absolutely fine. He goes, all right, well Cindy doesn't think I was overstep. I'm like, no. I'm like, Ed, you're fine.
I mean, I
Don't
hope you
heard
me say that. You know, I tried to say it on numerous times that, you know, I'm the playwright and I had to be the director here. I am a directing major in college, but
yep.
I direct plays, not TV shows, and this is supposed to be, you know, putting something that's going to be on television, to I don't want to be the director and the writer. I wanted to be the writer. So he stepped in and you know, gave it his slant, which I just was so blown away, happy.
Oh, yes.
To watch the magic happen that he did. And, you know, if we're talking about synchronicity, I will tell
and
you
he
that.
He really did a great job with them, too. Like it was a visible difference from one take to the next, from before, you know, the girls were doing their thing, you know, to after. Because, let's face it, we had play actresses, too. And for those of you who don't understand, you know, or who are not familiar, when you act on a stage, it's different than when you act for television. Your movement is different. You know, everything about you is different because when you're on a stage, you've got to cater to somebody, you know, who's way, way, way back in the audience, no screens, no this, no that, you know, and somehow you've got to get that across. So it's more dramatic on a stage. When you're on TV, you don't have room for the dramatic, you know, type of things or whatever. It's a smaller screen. It's a smaller fit. And you know what? Sometimes your whole body is not even on the camera. So you have to watch and you've got to, you know, do a lot of eyes and a lot of vocal changes, a lot of just facial expressions, you know, and you've got to keep everything smaller for TV, you know, and a lot of people don't get that. And the girls, I mean, they were incredible when we first walked in, and then they just kept getting better and better and better once we had somebody that was more seasoned step in and say, okay, fine, for the stage it's this, but if you're on TV, it's got to be this way. And they were just so receptive to him, too. And, you know, I think that everybody that night just had a wonderful time, you know, and it was just a lot of fun, Cindy. And you know what? I'm happy that we got a chance to help you, but thank you for assembling all of us together because I did get to meet, you know, two very, very cool girls. And, you know, you got to meet somebody that does something that's on the opposite end of what I do, you know, for entertainment purposes. And I think it was great just to have everybody come together like that, you know?
Absolutely, and the funny part about it is Tracy, the actress in it, I had seen her in the one-act festival at Theater 3, and after I saw that, Tracy's going, well, you have to write a one-act for, like, Theater 3 for the season next year. So I said, well, I have the Karma Bums, the sitcom that I had written years ago, and I said, why don't I just, like, turn that over into a one-act? So that was sitting on my lap, on my desk for 3 weeks. I was working on it when the idea from the pitch from NBC came in, and I was like, isn't that odd that I have not picked up the script in 5 years and I've been working on it every day. This comes through. And now when we finished doing that, what we did the other night, I was able to just really work on the one act and just really the few things that were missing needed fell right into place because all the work we were been doing on this. So I don't know. The synchronicity of it all is amazing to me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, it's fantastic. Everything was just fantastic, and everything just fell into place. So it was awesome.
And I made you all laugh when I said, thank you for coming to my house. I think you all laughed like,
yep.
I was like a little kid, like you all came to play at my house. Thank you, you know?
Yeah.
And because Lisa couldn't stop laughing when she heard me say that. So,
oh, Lisa just loves you.
I know, and I'm glad that she has you and you have her because she's just an amazing woman, too. Her energy was... and input was just great there, and I'm glad she enjoyed it. And, of course, you know, I could see my husband's online. We do have to thank him for, like, not coming home for, like, hours and walking the dog because he didn't want to be in the middle of the shooting.
I know, poor DJ.
So he's a good husband above and beyond the call of duty.
Oh, he most certainly is. Hey, TJ, I just want you to know that I asked Cindy where you were because I wanted to give you a hug, and you never came home.
No, I parked the car two houses up so the lights wouldn't go through the windows if you were filming. And then I just didn't want to, like, make any noises. So I took the dog. We went down to the beach. And
when you guys left,
I was on the water, you know, walking them in. I don't remember what it was, really. Sweets, I know you have people waiting. Thanks for doing that for us, Nicole. I know you have people waiting. What's a good time to arrive at home?
Well, you can come home anytime. I think I have... two people coming after the show, but I haven't been able to confirm it with them. So
yeah.
Anything
would
goes,
you, like them
you
to
know.
Eat? I just ate.
By the way, so no food. I just ate.
You ate the pasta I made the other day.
Yeah, yesterday. Yep. All
right, look,
thank
you. Have people waiting. Take care, of her, Nicole. Have a good show, and I'll be listening while I drive home. I'm in Sag Harbor right now. I'm on my way back. All right,
okay,
bye.
You know, it's funny. He always wonders if I eat because I will go the whole day, and the just people just come early, late, the wrong day,
and you'll forget.
And then they don't get to eat, and then I start getting it.
Yep.
You know, I'm already in la-la land doing this for a living. So you can imagine when you're really in la-la land what it's like. I'm like, oh, man, I left the earth today. So I have to eat for grounding. You know? So that's why he's concerned, because sometimes I'm really, boy, it's, you know, you can't
channel
enough.
Well, I don't blame him
eat.
Because you know what? You have to eat. You got to stay nourished.
Right, but if you could have seen today, just edification, it's one of those days where all day people are emailing, calling, freaking out and this and that, and speak to me and call me. I think I have to remind my clients I'm not the psychic 911. You got to, like,
yeah,
wait for the tornado, you know, the house
well,
hits the ground.
Not for anything. Remind everybody, isn't it Mercury retrograde?
Right, and, like, everybody's, like, freaking, and I can't just pick
like,
up the
hello?
Phone. I have readings scheduled back-to-back, and that's why, you know, when people are freaking out, I go, nope, you're going to have to wait till I can fit you in, and your spirit guides will guide you in between. But, again, I never want to be the psychic 911 and no one should ever go to a psychic when they're that freaking out, because they'll take advantage of you for the most part. They can, you know,
exactly,
overcharge you, do whatever you want because you just want resolution. But I think we're going to talk about, again, that our karmic lesson is patience, perseverance,
mm-hmm,
endurance. Sometimes we just,
yeah,
have to ride through things. And,
yeah,
you know, you can't have a Band-Aid on a carcinoma. You just have to, if a situation is bad, and for the most part, people are in relationships that are bad for a long time. You can't call me today. You're freaking now. This relationship's been bad for, like, 10 years. Now you can wait a month for me to get to it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't think that you want to get an instant reading all the time. The universe will guide you on your own a little bit first. It's very important you get your own guidance first, too.
Yeah.
So we were talking about you working on your inner guidance, too.
Oh, yes.
Well, I think we're going to go
been
down
on my inner guidance.
To, I know you've been really being very psychic now, so you know, maybe you'll just be plugging in on that tonight, you know? Maybe the universe
well,
will test
maybe.
You
maybe. Well, I've been, well, you know me, Cindy. I go into my ups, my I get, like, I'm very much like a roller coaster. I go up and then I go back down and then I go up and then I go back down because, like, you know, you were given this gift or whatever and it just came at you full force. Like, Lisa is very, very psychic and she was very, very naturally psychic. You know, my friend Carol, again, just, she didn't have to try, she didn't have to meditate, she just did it. You know, me, on the other hand, and I was telling you this before the show, I am so overly logical that it's one of those things where things start to happen, and then I'm feeling it, and I get into a groove with it, and then all of a sudden I start to question whether or not it's real, and then I start to question things, and all of a sudden things stop coming to me, you know, and then it's like I keep asking the universe, hey, universe, why aren't you giving me what I'm asking for? And then they're pretty much yelling back at me going, well, hey, dumbass. You know, if you stop questioning it when we give it, we give you more. So I keep setting myself back in that. And you know what? It's just the perfect way for me to say it. And you know what? I do that, and I'm sure that our callers do it in their own lives as well, you know, where you're sitting there, it's like, but I want this, but I want this, but I want this. And you don't even realize just the smallest thing that you're doing, even though you scream at the top of your lungs for something, the smallest thing that you're doing is stopping you. It doesn't have to be huge. You know, just that one little bit of doubt in my head stops me from getting any and all information. Just like you could be screaming, I want to get married, or I want, you know, a better job, or I want this. But what's that small thing that you're doing that's the biggest obstacle on the other side?
Exactly. And again, with your being skeptical, I'm the greatest skeptic of all. I always tell people, don't
yes.
get rid of all of that. We need, you know, sometimes you need, I always look for the logical reason for something happening before I assume, oh, spirit did something. You know what I mean? First I'm going to see, is there a logical reason why this could be happening? And then if I can't find any logical, I go, okay, spirit stepped in. But I do try to see logic always.
Yep.
Just,
I mean, you
so
have
that's
sometimes,
important.
But I'm too logical. I talk myself out of it.
Again, you know, today I was doing a reading for this woman, and she came with her daughter, and her husband, John, came through very clearly and loudly. And, you know, I said to her before today's readings, I said, dear God, do I really do what I do? Please don't, like make sure I really know what I do, what I'm doing. And I heard her husband, John, say, don't worry, we'll be talking tonight and helping you all day. And there he was. So I'm always the first
awesome.
One to say, is this real? Is this not real? Is it so... You know, I don't think I'm ever going to lose that or the awestruck by it all. That's what I think we have to keep. We can't take this for granted,
yes.
matter of fact. It's not
no,
matter of
absolutely
fact.
Absolutely not.
It's a
absolutely
gift.
Not.
It's, you know, what the dead are saying to me, it's an amazing miracle that they get to make some amends or help us when they're, you know, from the afterlife in a way that we can actually know what they're doing. So they're stunned by it as well. So that's why I said we don't want to lose that stunning feeling that this is. So I've never lost it in 20 years. To me, it's always like, wow, this is amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
I
think we're going to go
it.
Down to the 516-381. It's one of our clients who is going through a hard a divorce, and unfortunately, you know, she's been getting sick over this, you know, gallstones and appendicitis.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know, a toxic relationship can make you sick, but she seems to be doing much, much better, so maybe we can put her on and see what she has to say.
You got it. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you? Are you feeling better today?
Oh, my God, not really. I feel horrible this afternoon. I've been, you know, I just got off the train, and it's just these pains are horrendous. I think it has to do, again, because, you know, this idiot, you know, slept with the neighbor. In my
business. Oh, yeah, we got to fill in our list.
Yeah.
Your husband who claims he doesn't want a divorce because he's such a family-oriented man. And yet he keeps messing up, and he's trying to get you back. And meanwhile, he sleeps with your neighbor, and the neighbor's boyfriend comes to beat the hell out of him, and he beats the hell out of the boyfriend. But he wants to get back to you. That crazy guy. Uh-huh.
Exactly. And now the little boy's friends with my middle son. He's always playing with my middle son, but I always say to them, just do it outside. Don't come inside. So now my boys come back in the house, and my kid is like, listen, this little boy wants to come in. Like, well, you know what? Tell him that the boys are, you know, coming for the night. They're done. And it's just a constant reminder that I have to explain myself to the sitter, to the little boy, he can't come in. And it's just, after that, I got sick to my stomach all over again.
And again, this is a man who is telling your children that you're the one breaking up the family when he's done nothing but cheat and lie for years. And, you know, this is the kind of... you know, relationship and problem that, you know, a lot of people are in. The good people just are so tolerant. They've taken nonsense for so long. But it will make us sick. And you could see that, you know, when you tried to go back with him last year because, you know, you're trying to give that last hurrah, that last I have kids, let's try. What you ended up doing is getting sick. And
I'm so sick to my stomach. I can't even see inside of him. And I explained to him last night, and I'm like, we're done. It's time to move on. Like, I'm mentally, spiritually, I mean, every sense of the way, done. And he took it out on me by speaking to my 9-year-old and then telling him how bad of a mommy I am to remember this. You know, this is what mommy's doing. And then I have to lock the door of my bedroom so I can get some sleep. And he went on and on and on how I can get myself out of the room, see what mommy does to me. And this is a 9-year-old that he's traumatizing. And I'm like, you got to stop this. He's, you know, 9 years old, it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you're keeping him up. What's the point? It's like, oh, I'm bonding with my 9-year-old. What do you care? I'm like, of course you may. I mean, that's not the point, but 10, 11 o'clock at night, he has school the next day. It was ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of...
Well, he's not being a father. He's trying to be a big brother to the children. So that makes him the nice guy. And that makes mommy the bad cop. And, you know, they don't need a big brother. They need a father. And a father knows children need sleep. But he's back in the house with you right now, by the way?
Well, he comes and goes. I mean, I can't kick him out of the house right now. Because legally I can't.
I know.
But he'll sleep at the house when he wants. I mean, he doesn't sleep in the room with me. He'll sleep anywhere around the house. But he's always there. Like, if I go home right now and tell him, you know, he sees that I'm not feeling well, he'll be like all over me, oh, can I take care of you? I'm like, no, please let me be. And he goes all over it. He gets all crazy. And it's so taxing, and I feel more sick. And if I try to lay down in the bedroom, he'll come in and out of the bedroom to constantly harass me. And it's, like, ridiculous. And yesterday I spoke to my attorney. I'm like, what's going on with this divorce? He was served already on the 15th of May. He's defaulting the serve of the papers. It appears to me that he hasn't obtained an attorney because he doesn't want to get divorced now because he says, well, you're getting divorced. I'm not getting divorced. And he's telling me it's crazy. And I'm like, well, you know what? You can't force me in the marriage. I don't want to be in this marriage. We're done. You know, he's like, oh, we should give it a try for the kids. We never really tried before. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm like, do you
never really
tried.
That's all you've been doing for a year is trying.
And I'm like,
what planet is he on? What planet is he on?
He's like the planet of La La Land, like the high planet, I think, whatever pills he's on. I mean, it's like out of control. So my question is, I mean, is this going to go through? Is he going to drag this
on?
Yes,
I actually got the divorce will go through. He's not going to make it easy. He's going to play the torture game for a while. But I see the divorce going through. It's going to take a little time because of the children. But then I see a soulmate in your life, money being very, very, very good in the future, a little bit of budgeting now because this divorce has cost you a fortune. But everything looks much, much better. You know, what's your birthday, just the month and the day?
January 30th.
Okay. That your birthday year, January 30th, is the beginning of your new year, will open up and be very peaceful. So you just got to hang in there now. And, again, we were talking about patience and perseverance and endurance. Maybe
right.
This is just a lesson in perseverance. And, mm-hmm. you know, yes him to death, yeah, sure. Don't get upset. Don't look to provoke him. And let it pass. Because after a while, it's not going to be very fun if you're not giving him the responses he wants.
Right.
And I know it's difficult because you work all day and you're a mom and, you know, you want peace when you walk in that door and it's not there. So I'm asking you to be, like, beyond human. But
right.
with these people, if they see they're getting to us, they torture us, you know.
Right.
And, of course, you know, talk about a waking dream. God always makes sure that we really know who these people are. Imagine him sleeping with your neighbor and getting caught in the big scene. That was for, like, you more than for him. So that here he's telling you he wants to get back at the same time he's sleeping with the neighbor. I mean, come on.
Right. It's disgusting. I mean, I am
That's
baffled.
His best behavior? He's on his best behavior? That's
it
what he's
saying. Ridiculous.
I had to laugh when I heard that because I said, this man is such a moron, it's not even funny. But that doesn't mean he doesn't look good in court sometimes. That doesn't mean he doesn't clean up his act. This man is shrewd and smart and not to be, like, underestimated. But I do see the best cards I've seen in a long time for you, which you're just at the end of the worst of it. Of course, he's doing damage to your children, which is going to come back to haunt in the future, unless some of this, you know, you have the children in therapy, which is good.
Oh, yes. They've been in therapy for a while, four weeks already.
Good. And, of course, I hope the therapist, does the therapist ever talk to your husband about what's going on?
I made her aware today of what happened yesterday. As incidents are occurring, I'm making her aware, and I'm just waiting for her to get back to me on, you know, she's going to have to talk to him about what happened yesterday because he needs to cut this off because whatever she's working with the children, he's negating. He's making,
right.
He's not helping the situation. And it drives me nuts because I told him, you're trying to be his pal, not his father, and you're being selfish. He's like, oh, stop name calling me. You're harassing me. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? It's ridiculous. You got to let the little guy go to sleep. It's late.
And again,
you know?
First of all, you know, he's trying to make it like he's the good guy. And just,
right.
You know, at this point, you're going to have to just know that he's trying every trick in the book. Say it firmly. Say the facts, but don't, like, inflame him. Don't be nasty. Watch your tone. I know it's hard to do, but we just can't go to their level because you can never win at his level. We can win going to a higher place. And, you know, things look good, though. Your health will get better. If God is keeping you sick, in case you're ever tempted to go back with him because it just makes it easier for a minute.
Oh, no.
He'll kill you.
Done.
You know that you'll end up dying if you stay there.
No, I want nothing. I mean, just pure sight of him, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't even stand him. Just to think the fact that I have to deal with him for the next 15 years because he's the father of the kids, it just repulses me. You know, but it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about that. It's also, he claims that he's going to be moving out of town, that he can't afford New York. Is that something that you see that he'll be moving?
Oh, let's hope. Let's hope he's on the internet looking for a woman far, far, far away. and that he goes far, far, far away. And we'll wish him well. We'll wish him in the laws of karma, the
I'm hoping.
The life he deserves, But wish him well, and that would be the best bet for you if he moved far away. So let's let the universe work on that one. And if he does it, a lot better karma will come his way. If he's going to stay here and torture you and the kids, nothing good's going to come of him, because God's primary concern is the children over him. So if he's going to be damaging them psychologically, and he's not, the universe will deal with him very harshly. So just pray he does what God's trying to dangle in front of him, a woman with some money out of state. So that was what he would love. So, you know, we'll pray he gets what he thinks he wants and leaves you alone.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you. Of course, always
great.
Email me. You know what? You know I'm your soul mother, and I love you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, now. We have someone along at Freaked Sorry. What's that mean? Is she the one that called today freaking? Is this possibly one of the 14 that called today?
No, she did not call today.
Is
Nika, and Nika is on Long Island, and she is a client of yours. She has seen you before, Cindy. And basically, you know, you really don't really like a certain somebody for her, and, you know, she's still just somewhat attached there, and she doesn't really know what exactly is going on. If he's thinking about her, if he's not thinking about her, why can't his thoughts just, you know, stop popping into her head, so to speak? So she needs a little bit of guidance from you, and she said that she did freak a little bit yesterday because it was his birthday.
Yeah, well, I said
there was
14 of them yesterday, and I wasn't able to call anybody back because I worked 13 hours yesterday. I've worked 14-hour days for like 9 days in a row now, and
oh,
I'm like,
God.
I cannot pick up the phone. I have to eat. I have to sleep. I have to live. I have a husband. I have a daughter. I cannot be here 37 hours a day for everybody. So,
no.
I mean, that was my yesterday and today, because it makes me nervous, because by nature I would want to call back. I always tell people, you can email me. I'll always get an email back to you, but calling is just, I cannot speak another minute sometimes in the day.
Yep, no, so, I hear you. And Nika recognized that, which is why she wanted to call you to apologize, you know, and say sorry for freaking out a little bit. But let's see what the cards say for Nika, and maybe we can stop her freakishness.
Oh, good.
Hello, Nika.
Hi,
you are on the air.
Hello, my darling. How are you today?
Not that well. I'm just, since I had the reading with you, and especially yesterday, I'm so sorry for freaking out like that. I'm just really, like, not doing well.
I know, because you've been hurt by this guy, and I wish the cards would be, like, better to look at. But, you know, first of all, I see future, a wonderful soulmate for you, husband. It's not this guy. Okay, so let's talk about what the future is. He is you know, still messing around. He has some sex addiction and other issues, and they're not better in these cards. They're actually worse. So, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't love you. You didn't start out as soulmates. I know you had that connection. But he's distracting a lot. And people who have addictions, whether it's drugs, sex addiction, they don't feel the same level of pain you and I feel, because they're busy distracting. They're busy, like, doing their drug of choice. Meanwhile, you're not running around getting stoned and partying and trying to act like you didn't have your heart ripped out. He's not doing his inner homework at all. He's just really, I'm not saying when he finally puts his head on the pillow at the end of the night, I'm not saying he doesn't think about you. But the cards on him are really, really, really bad. And, you know, he's just up to no good. You know, it's been how long since you've last spoke to him?
The last time that I spoke to him and saw him was Memorial Day weekend. That was the last time. And I just keep feeling like I keep thinking he's thinking about me. I keep feeling like we're still connected somehow. I keep wondering if this is totally it. I don't know why, but I don't feel like it's totally over. I don't know if he's going to come back.
Well, it's not going to be over, because he'll come and go for the rest of your life if you allow him. He'll call you maybe a month from now, especially when his parents are wondering where you are, because they like you, and rightfully so. You're a good catch. Anybody's parents would like you. And then kind of tell you what you want to hear, and probably be honest about his feelings, you know, and tell you he loves you and that's how he feels at the moment, and then run again. Commitment phobics just come and go and rip our hearts out in and out. Now, maybe you haven't had enough of this yet, and you might need one or two more rounds of him doing this before you'll be able to walk away. Love isn't pain, and what you've been experiencing, other than the very brief period in the beginning, is a lot of pain. The man is giving you pain, he's breaking your heart, he's hurting you. And, you know, it's up to you to realize he doesn't deserve your love. He hasn't done much in a long time to deserve that love.
And yeah, I was hoping that he would, like, things would, like, with the 2 feet out thing that I've been doing, I was hoping that, you know, eventually something would dawn on him and things were going to get, like, maybe better.
Again, they can't dawn on a person who doesn't stop getting stoned. You know, even spirit guides cannot access someone's brains, you know, or if they're stoned. And angels that are light can't. Dark angels can. That's why sometimes people freak out when they're stoned. But his angels are saying they can't even access his brain right now. You know, because you've made him know what love is and what commitment is and what a good person is. I mean, that haunts him, no doubt. But he's not untypical of your generation of men. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to support women. They, you know, or help women. They don't want to grow up and have children and stop doing drugs and stop interacting with women. I mean, the number of your generation of women who are tolerating men getting naked pictures from women they chat with on the internet astounds me. It's not.
No,
this stuff is dangerous. These women want to meet these men. This leads to other stuff. I mean, I've dealt with this probably 40 times in this week. Women of your generation, somewhere between 25 and, say, 35, with the men doing this. And I'm like, that's cheating. I mean, it's not harmless to have a woman send a pornographic picture over the phone, and women are supposed to think that's okay. I mean, it's not just your guy. It's like a lot of them. And I think the men are all busy talking like they're normal. And one of my clients, I told her, you know, this guy, you know, you slept with him too soon, and now, you know, you better tell him, you know, that you don't really sleep with people or sleeping with other people. So if this is going to continue, then he has to put 2 feet in. And he looked at her like she had 18 heads. I mean, like, he just was like, what, are you kidding me? What? What do you mean? And I was like, well, you're supposed to have that discussion before you sleep with somebody. But the point is, I was shocked that he thought it was so odd that she was saying that. So I think the men have this, like, boys club, and he's part of that with his friends. He doesn't have the best friends, by the way. And even that girlfriend of his,
yeah,
one of his, is back in the cards here.
Really?
So even though he said he would never talk with her or be involved with her anymore.
Yeah, then the mother condemned it. The mother said, no, she's not around. She's not allowed to come around anymore at all.
Yeah, but he's a grown man. Mommy can't tell him who could come around. I mean, even mommy telling him that just made him run closer to her. You know, his mom doesn't realize you can't, like, tell these men what they can do or not do because he doesn't really care what mommy says. He isn't going to let mommy know what he's doing. But this is, I don't see him doing his inner homework. That, you know, if you're going to sit and wait for him, you might be waiting for a while now. And then, of course, he'll come see you or whatever he'll do, but then you'll be back again hitting bottom. So it's up to you to kind of, you know, start looking outside of him. Are you trying to go out with friends and meet other people?
I've been not really, because I've been really just depressed. Like, for the past 2 weeks, I've not really been doing well. Like, I went to a psychiatric place yesterday, actually, to try to talk to someone, and I think in a few weeks they're going to get in contact with me because I've been losing, like, a lot of weight. Like, I'm really, this has just hit me really hard, and it makes me wonder if it's, like, really over, if it's for a reason, if it's, like, I keep thinking of
it. Well, you could always call him and ask him, are we going to have a relationship or not? He's going to probably tell you no, and maybe you don't want to hear what he has to say. And, you know, it's not unusual for you to get sick, but what you're going through is now withdrawal from a toxic love affair. This is not soulmate anymore. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You're losing weight. You're self-destructing. You're paranoid. What's he doing? You're obsessed with him. You're obsessed with getting a fix him. Once love becomes toxic, it's an addiction. You're withdrawing from heroin. This guy is really bad for you. And don't make it like this is soulmate now, because it's not. It's really, once you start self-destructing, that's not soulmate. Even when a soulmate relationship does end, people do not become self-destructive for the most part. They begin to come to a place of self-love. They learn a lot of lessons, and they grow from the experience. So right now you're hooked on him like heroin. And start realizing that it's because you, the last couple of months that you've been going back and forth, wherever it went, it's soulmate. You didn't end it when it was going from soulmate down to toxic and take the 2 feet out at that point, which maybe, you know, he can't change this guy, but the point is, if you did that, at least you would have walked away when it was still feeling, you were still feeling better about yourself. Now it's gone on too long, so, you know, it may have depleted your serotonin levels, by the way, which means, you know, you might need an antidepressant or something.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling like you need that?
Yeah, and I would be open to it, actually, because I can't deal with this.
He's depleted you. He's drained you. And that's what happens when it does start out as soulmates and you have that moment of connecting, and then these people so quickly drag it down to toxic that you don't know what hit. And actually, they drag it down to toxic at the moments when you've just met, where you should still be on the honeymoon stage of love.
Right.
So it's absolutely painful what he did.
And it makes me wonder, is he just walking around just like having a party, like having a great time? I mean, how could
he not be? Well, if you were stoned as he was, you'd be walking around having a party too. I mean, these people get stoned, distract, so they don't feel the pain. You're actually feeling the pain. You're mourning for the end of the relationship, which feels like a death. And, you know, the combination of what you're going through between the fact that it went toxic. A lot of times soulmates, when they truly are high soulmates, even if they are messed up like this, they leave before it gets this bad. They say things like, you are the love of my life, but I can't do this. And that does comfort the person somewhat to know that, okay, I'm not crazy. And, you know, if the person can't do it, you have some peace in your heart. This man has given you no peace in your heart. And that's why maybe going on an antidepressant for a short period of time, not forever, you need to lift those serotonins and get yourself back feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
But he's too stoned out and distracting. His level of hooked on porn is so astronomical here that he's just distracting. And, of course, there's always a moment of truth in every day, you know, when someone puts their head on the pillow. But he's not very fixable. I told you that from, like, the first time I looked at his cards, and that's why I wouldn't read him when you wanted me to read him,
mm-hmm.
because I could see he's not fixable. He's a narcissist. He's judgmental. He's got drug addiction, porn addiction. The prognosis of him changing is about 2%, and he doesn't want to change. That's the whole point. He is making it plain and clear to you. He doesn't want to change. This is what he wants to be. So I think you'll feel better after you start talking a little bit more with people. You also need to do something in which you're not sitting around obsessing about him all day.
I don't tell someone that I love them that easily, and we did even to the end. Like when we were arguing on Memorial Day weekend, he told me, you know, I love you, but, you know, like, whatever. He was saying, like, well, whatever, maybe in a few months or something like that. But we were telling each other that we love each other. Like, we always say it. So it makes me wonder, like, if he loved me, then, you know, how could he not, is he going to come back? Like, isn't it
again,
real love?
You can't, you're having a really hard time understanding that he's not fixable. So even if he came back, you're going to be abused by him. He'll come back, you'll be with him, he'll cheat, he'll do what he wants, he'll be on the porn site, he'll be on the chat room. You're trying to make an apple a banana. This man doesn't want what you're selling. I mean, maybe he'd marry you, but he'd be cheating on you the whole marriage. I mean, that's not love. I mean, it's abuse at that point. So, you know, I'm not saying you weren't brought immediately at one point to be soulmates, but only 1% of people maintain that relationship because it's really hard to maintain. You have to heal your issues. You can't be an addict. You can't be a mean son of a bitch. You got to grow up. You have to care about somebody more than your addictions. And that's why you keep trying to have, you know, believe that he's going to come back and earn a miracle. He's not earning any miracles. He's still getting stoned. He's still doing all his best. So how can he earn a miracle?
No, the reason why he's sitting there saying that, you know, well, maybe in a couple of months is because he wants to keep you on that hook. He wants to keep you on that line. He's going to go out and he's going to have fun and he's going to do all the things that he wants to do, and he's going to screw around and he's going to hang out with his friends while you're sitting there waiting for him to come back. And then guess what? If nobody consistent, or when he needs somebody to fall back on, that's going to be you later on. And I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen and you did take him back, if suddenly in a, you know, month, 2 months, maybe 3 months tops, if he wasn't turning around going, you know what, I need a break again.
And it's because these men, because of the internet dating, because of all of this, they seem to be like little kids in a candy store, like, you know, they don't understand the difference between infatuation or, you know, you can look at women and there's plenty of beautiful women and sexy women out there and you can look, but they have to, like, have them and then, you know, it doesn't work out and they go back to the good girl that they love. But it's not just you. It's astronomical numbers of women crying because these men are all doing the same nonsense.
You know what, Cindy? The women are doing it, too.
To each other and to men.
It's not even men. It's not even just men. You can't even blame only men. It's women. It's men. It's straight couples. It's gay couples. It's all the same. And it's that analogy that you use about the kid in the candy shop is perfect, okay? Because it's like this. Imagine you've got a three-year-old, okay? And you tell the three-year-old, what do you want, Reese's Pieces or M&M's? Now, they look exactly the same almost, aside from maybe some different colors. Okay, shape-wise, they're the same, okay? You know, texture-wise, when you bite into them, they're the same, a little bit different, you know, but it's the same style, okay? You ask a three-year-old, do you want M&M's or do you want Reese's Pieces? They're going to pick one of those two things. But now with the internet opening up and with a lot more of this stuff being more accessible than it was in the past, it's literally like that same three-year-old in a candy store. When you give a three-year-old more choices, they're not just going to say, I want that. They're going to say, oh, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. And it's exactly what it's like when you're looking for people on the internet or when you're kind of trolling for people on the internet. You know, you've got your pick of any single thing that you want when you're there. You know? So, of course, you're not going to want to make a decision. You know, but you know what? At the same time, though, you still got to be safe. You still got to have somebody to fall back on because what if I can't meet that person on the internet that I'm choosing? What if I meet them and it doesn't work out? What if I meet several people and it doesn't work out? What will I do then? I'll tell you what you do then. The person that you've been keeping on the hook, the one that actually genuinely cares about you, that's waiting for you, that's where you're going to go when you don't get what you want because all this time you're sitting there trying to figure out what you want and you're too stupid to see that it's right in front of you.
And then that person who loves you strokes you, tell you how wonderful you are, how much they missed you, how great, and they get all strokes, and they've all puffed up again, and then they go out and get more, okay, I'm so great, and they go out and try to get another woman because they're such idiots. So, you know, I just feel very, very, very sorry for Nico because she's a really beautiful, beautiful girl inside and outside and smart and kind.
Oh, she seems like an absolute sweetheart.
But she's gorgeous physically, by the way, so... The man is an idiot. He's stupid. And, you know, I'm so glad that you did call into our show because that's why I have this hour once a week. So if you are freaking, call me on the radio show night. And I'll be and I have this little time stand. But I think you do need to understand you're going through withdrawal and look at it as an addiction. Because, you know, if you can't eat, you can't sleep, you feel paranoid, you wonder what he's doing, you're obsessed, that's addiction already. And and just call, you know, email me. You know, I always answer your emails. And, you know, please make your appointment because I think you really do need something. Because right now it's becoming OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, that everybody has. And love is an obsession, but you're OCD-ing about him a lot. because your serotonin levels are so depleted. So you might want to lift them a bit so that even the obsessiveness of this will lift along with it.
Yeah.
You know, love is an obsession. I'm not saying you're doing anything abnormal or that all of us haven't been through. But in life, I always tell people, sometimes we just have to go on with life. We've got to pick ourselves up, do what we're expected to do, and let life do what it needs to do. And maybe in that way, you'll get through some of this. But again, you're trying to make a man who doesn't want to commit, who's a womanizer and a cheater, into one who's not. And you know, it's not going to happen. My dad was an absolute womanizer, cheated on my mother forever. I mean, this is something I witnessed, and I would hope to God you will not have children with this man and think you're going to change him and have your children subjected to this kind of nonsense, because it really jades children and makes them incapable of knowing what a good relationship is. So I know you want to be a mom, you want to have children, and, you know, maybe you're just trying to make this guy more than he is because of that. But
no.
Don't waste too much time if you can.
Do you see someone for the future for me?
I saw a wonderful soulmate, by the way. Loyal, trustworthy, smart, hardworking, who will treat you like the princess that you are.
Very
so,
good.
You know, and if nothing else, I've gotten to know you over this situation. So I think, you know, God brought a little love to me and to you because we have each other. So
yeah.
It's all good. Please email me, though, every day and let me know how you're doing, because I'll always, and again, I hope I don't sound like I'm judging you. I've been through this. I wrote Grant Me a Higher Love. I know what it is to fall in love with a man who couldn't commit to me over almost 20-year period. I don't wish it on anybody.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I beat myself up for still even thinking that, well, he has to be thinking of me just like I'm thinking of him. I hate that I do that. You know?
And I'm not saying he isn't, because soulmates will feel the same thing you do, but then they'll get stoned. And let's not think about that anymore. So, you know, they'll just use more drugs or distract more. That's why they don't feel it. People who don't get stoned and drunk feel the pain of life. And that's what you're doing, and the disappointment, and how could he do this to me? But I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. What would you be telling your daughter about this mess?
I know that I would not tell her to deal with a guy like this. I would definitely tell her, you know, we're moving to another state if you think that you're going to deal with someone like this.
I love it. I love it. Yes, she's got it.
Nika, are you Latin by any chance?
No, and no, I'm not. I'm from Jamaica, and we're different. That's what I was going to ask you too, Tini, if this had to do with because the racial thing. You said his father had a problem with
it. His father, who was Italian, was not thrilled with your black skin. And
right.
I think your black skin is gorgeous, but I'm just telling you, his father was not thrilled with it. The
and
mother loved doing it. You asked him, and what did he say?
It's Easter. Easter, we were at his house for Easter, and it was very awkward. And his father, like, didn't really have much to say to us. And, you know, when we were driving in the car, he said, you know, I think my dad might be racist. And I'm, like, looking at him, because I'm like, this is exactly what he said. And it finally came out a few months later. So I was like, do you think this is something that would stop you from feeling, like, moving? Even just Memorial Day weekend, I was like, are you sure your father's opinion won't stop you from moving forward with something with me and you? Like, you sure? It won't, you know, prevent you from wanting to take us further. He's like, come on, look at a guy like me. Yeah, right. You think I would let anything stop me? You know I don't let anything stop me. But I'm wondering now if he did
no,
this.
No, now you've got some of the roots of it, because his father does not want, you know, grandchildren from you. And know that sometimes we have to deal with prejudice, but soulmates will have race difference, color difference, age differences, and they have to have the courage to bring it forth. But his father said some not very nice things, and that stuck in his mind. Because if you think of his own father saying that, then what are other people going to say? How can he deal with that? So that was an issue I saw from the first time when I read you, that, you know, the father has issues. Not the mother, the father. And really, I tell people, you know, sometimes we're here to shake our parents' world and let them know only love matters. But most people don't have the courage. Sometimes if there's a big age difference or there's something, people are afraid of what other people would say. And they tend to follow what other people would say over what their heart's telling them. So, you know, the father pretty much even told the mother, stop encouraging this.
Really?
So, yeah, because he does, you know, because of his prejudice. And she, after all, shuts up and does what he wants, too. So just know that that's part of it. And the other part of it is that he just wants to get stoned and party. So, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, I'm glad that you heard it, because I didn't think you believed me when I told you that his father was prejudiced.
Well,
you have to understand, I'm a lot older than you. I'm 61 years old. I lived when there was segregation, when there were separate water fountains for black and white people. You know, it's something, and being raised Italian when I was younger, the prejudice against Italians. You tend to forget, or people tend to forget, that it still exists. So
yeah,
that's something for, you know, you to know that it was something that, you know, he came very loud and clear about his father through the reading. And it's his father's stupidity. I mean, that's all I could tell you. The father's
I always tried to put my best foot forward when I ever go to their house. I mean, even the Memorial Day weekend, I was just over there, and I'm always polite, always put my best foot forward. But
and of course, because you were just, you have a best, your worst foot is the best foot for most people. So just know that these are things that a higher love demands. We heal our issues. We have courage. The one thing about all commitment phobics, and very strong in your guy's cards, he has no courage.
Really?
So, he talks a good game. He talks a good game. It's like the men that can go to Afghanistan. They're very brave. They have courage there, but they can't go to love.
Right.
You know, so call in again and let us know, and we want to try to take another caller.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
good
you.
Luck to you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, boy, I hate dealing with prejudice. It's one of those things
that
irks me beyond words.
No, well, I asked if she was Latin, because when she's like, nope, we're moving to another state, that's exactly something that one of my sisters would say. That's like, she's hot-blooded, you know. She's from Jamaica, and Puerto Rico's not that far, so yeah. You know, so it's just, oh, my God. You know, that's why I said it was hysterical. But we've got about
But I'm glad, you know, I'm glad she called in, because the number one thing is, if you're starting to get so down and depressed, sometimes you just need something a little bit to get you through this, whether, you know, you've gotten depressed because of it. It makes you depressed. But,
yeah,
you know, circumstantial depression leads to clinical if it goes on too long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why sometimes a serotonin reuptake or something will lift that. Not forever. I'm not an advocate of staying on antidepressants forever. For a brief period of time, it does its work.
Exactly.
You get off and you go back to life.
Yep.
But, you know, you could see that. I'm so glad that she did that, because I always tell people, you know, I'm a psychic. I know a lot about psychology. I help. But sometimes you need to go to the people that are trained. When your serotonins
yep.
go down, you need to go to people who are trained to treat that, you know?
Yep.
Because if I'm talking soulfully and about relationship, and if that's not cutting through it, then, you know, some other form of therapy is definitely necessary. So, anyway, we have someone in California, and I don't understand any spirit questions. What's that?
All right, Cindy. Well, basically, Tasha wanted to know if you do any mediumship. To which, of course, I answered, yes, she does, and what is your question? Where she just basically just wants to connect with the other side, and she wants to know if there's anybody that has crossed over that just has any messages for us, Cindy. So if you can help Tasha connect to her spirit guide, she would be very much appreciative.
Oh, great.
Hello,
Hi,
Tasha. You're
you?
On the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Hi, Tasha. You're a little bit psychic yourself, huh?
Yes.
Okay, because all of a sudden the first card I got is, this woman has her own psychic abilities for sure. And that's amazing. What's your birth date, month, day, year?
My birthday is 6/22/1975.
Okay, I wanted to hear that 22, and you have a birthday coming up, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a perfect time for a reading. 22 is one of the strongest numbers in numerology. I'm a 22 also. You had to have a lot of lifetimes to land on a 22. Being that you have a birthday coming up, great time for a reading. You have a grandma who passed away, by the way?
One of my great-great-grandmothers.
Right. Do you remember her at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because she said you were a really good kid. and you know, that she loved you very much. That woman had a hard life. Do you know about her at all?
No, but I used to get images of her childhood growing up.
Yes,
yeah.
she had a hard childhood. She doesn't miss life. She misses her family members and people she loves, you know, but not life itself. There's another mother figure. Who is that passed away?
Another mother figure. Is it a friend, a family of the friends?
Right, but I think was a mother of a friend of yours?
Yeah, my grandmother's, yeah.
Right, okay. Because you got the women coming through, first of all, who love you very much. You also, by the way, have a wonderful five-year period opening up. Do you know where you want to be 5 years from now?
Owning my own business.
Okay. That's definitely doable here. So know that, do you know what kind of business you want, or are you just saying you want a business but not sure which?
Lately I've been getting, in the back of my head, I've been getting, like, owning my own motel, but flourishing into a new millennium time era.
Wow. All right. Well, that looks good because you're supposed to make very, very, very good money in the future. Whose father has passed away?
Mine, my father.
Right, because, you know, it's funny because you also have a grandfather, too, that's gone, correct?
Yes. Yes, I've been wanting him to be around me, and I've been trying to talk to him and get messages from him.
You got your dad and your grandfather, and you've been communicating with your grandfather more than your father. That's where your psychic abilities were sharper with your grandfather for some reason.
Okay.
Know that your dad is willing to help you in any way you can. He's a little apologetic to you about some things. Do you know why he would say that?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. He wasn't the world's best father in the history of the world, though he probably was good enough. Men haven't been historically always great fathers. He made him be a better father than I think he was even capable of being because you were such a good kid.
Yeah.
But he's very apologetic. He had an extremely hard life. Do you know about that?
Yes, I know about that.
Okay, and that doesn't give us a license to abuse our children, but what he says is, I'm sorry. Who's the alcoholic, by the way?
He was.
Right, because he's talking about the alcoholism. I didn't know if you wanted to share it, that he was an alcoholic, but he's apologetic for his drinking. And know that he loves and admires you. Your grandfather is quite a character. I don't know how much you knew about him, but he's an interesting guy, too. Intelligent people. Your family are intelligent people. Didn't have the easiest lives, but your dad is... I hope you know that he loved your mother, even though...
Yes, I do.
Okay, even though...
He just wasn't ready for that type of lifestyle, and I get that. It was
and
just
you could
strange.
Hear it from the woman that we did the reading with just before you.
Yes.
Sometimes they're just not... You know, your mom loved him. She wanted to change him. She wanted to... And he said if any woman could have made a man be a good man, it was your mother.
Yeah, but he wasn't ready, though.
He wasn't ready. And it's funny because he was listening to our last call in your...
Like
father's
me.
Laughing. He goes, you said it like you should have. You know, women shouldn't be settling for less, and women shouldn't be allowing men to cheat on them. Women have to start boycotting men if they're going to do that. So know that your dad will give you a lot of messages. I like him very much, by the way. He's very peaceful. He's not an alcoholic anymore. He's dealt with his childhood traumas. You can certainly try to connect a little more with him now. If you would think of him as not being your dad, the alcoholic, or the man that couldn't really step up to the plate to be a good husband, think about him as being a man who has learned a lot.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing lately. I'm trying to really connect with him because I really want all of them to help me because I'm trying to push forward with moving, and it's just so hard. So I'm learning to just let go and let be and let it just come.
Good. And I'll tell you, I'm so glad you called in tonight because your dad wished you a very happy birthday. Your grandpa wishes you a very happy birthday, and so does your great-grandma. and your friend's mother. So know that you needed to perhaps know that you are really connecting with people. You really did connect with your grandpa. So, you know, your dad said, I think you were a little afraid because there are some unhealed issues between the two of you, but you can start healing them now. You can forgive the man. You don't have to forgive all of his actions, but I think you're in agreement with me when I told you my dad was a womanizer and what your dad was like. Women, don't marry these men if they're not ready to commit. Children don't need to witness this. They don't need to be subjected to this because it makes it harder to love. It makes us harder to trust. So work on your trust issues, by the way.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you. We are at the end of our show. We want to give a big shout-out to everybody, and thank you so much for listening, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Well, Nicole, do you have anything to say, a shout-out?
You know what, Cindy? I'm going to shout-out to our fabulous actresses from this weekend. All right, so to Jackie and to Tracy Lynn, you guys did a wonderful job, and thank you very much for stepping up and helping out my very good friend Cindy there. You know, the project means a lot to her, and we wish her the best of luck with it. And Cindy, just so you know, Ed is editing everything, and we should have a preliminary project sooner than later. So you'll be able to take a quick
look. I just love it. I just love it, and I just hope one day in the future we can all work together again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, give TJ a hug for me, Cindy. As always, you did a wonderful job.
I will.
And thank you very much to all of our listeners.
Good night.